set on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome on into this wet Wednesday, June 4th, 2025 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Rainy, gray clouds, nice spring rain, even though it's June, heading towards summer. We're not there just yet. Today's, we're going to be 16 degrees cooler than yesterday. Got up to 85. Today we're going to be 69, raining. Nice drizzle out there. Love the sound of rain in the morning. Absolutely love it. Is it raining where you're at? Text me. Send me a text, 231-360-5140. Let me know what's going on weather-wise. I got a very graphic two-photo text message from Tim Tarjeft, Sheboygan School Board member, over in Onaway. I call it the Trinity Head of gas stations there in the corner of Onaway, the Mobil gas station, the Marathon gas station. You know, one of the things that in these text messages I absolutely love is how the angles are taken. Mobil, Shell, and Marathon. Mobil and Shell gas stations are owned by Blarney Castle. The Marathon gas station is privately owned by an Onaway resident. Prices of gas there at the Trinity Head in Onaway shows the Mobil gas station and the Shell gas station at $3.29 a gallon. The Marathon gas station, owned by a private resident, is $3.19. Now, I got a very simple question. People of Onaway, people driving like Tim from Sheboygan in Onaway this morning, 8:30. If you needed to get gas on the same basic corner, where would you get your gas? Well, you'd buy it at the Marathon. You look at the prices of the Shell, the Mobil, $3.29, the Marathon's $3.19, you're going to save 10 cents a gallon, you'll go there. Again, Blarney Castle can charge whatever they want. But obviously, they feel that they need to price gouge and charge 10 cents a gallon more than a neighbor competing gas station right across the street. Does that model work for them? Only if you guys go and pay 10 cents a gallon more for your gas and buy your gas and cigarettes or energy drinks or whatever, lotto tickets. That's your decision. haven't heard yet back from Dana Nessel's Attorney General's office on my complaint that I filed against Blarney Castle here in Antrim County. Have any of you heard back yet? I haven't. So, appreciate the photographs, Tim. Great information, as always. Just very interesting. That's all I'm saying. Hey, we're going to have Dr. Jeff in the house from Sioux Animal Hospital. Text me any question you have for Ask the Vet, Dr. Jeff from Sioux Animal Hospital in the next segment. Lots of stories coming from Lansing after what they went through yesterday. Big, big announcement came during the breaking third hour yesterday. A resolution to impeach, ask for the resignation of Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson. We got a whole lot more. Third break, we'll be right back with Dr. Jeff.
Are you one of the many people that have always wanted to give to your favorite charity or non-for-profit, such as your church, school, or local community, but believe that it's way out of your budget, a goal that you've always wanted to fulfill? Let me show you some strategies that would benefit you and your favorite charity. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
If you're nearing 65, you're probably being bombarded by insurance companies by mail and phone, trying to sell you this product or that. Laura Bogdan has personally looked after the needs of seniors, taking the time to explain how Medicare works and other benefits you may not even be aware of. Laura is ready to help you today.
I'm Laura Bogdan. Call me today, 231-264-6890, 231-264-6890.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Now, y'all up here in Northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the North, and you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number one here on this hump day Wednesday. Joining us as usual is Dr. Jeff up at Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, Jeff, what's the weather like up there in Sault Ste. Marie?
Rainy. Finally, actually, we did need some rain. It was getting kind of dry.
Right. So, yes. Yep. We have the same thing going here. Petoskey's reporting in with some rain. But as we head east over toward Alpena, Mayo, Oscoda, that's not raining there yet, but it's definitely cloudy and about 53. So, hey, I wanted to talk to you about that particular subject, weather.
Okay.
And I want to talk, we spoke a lot last about deer and different things, how it affects them and their migration and their movements and things like that. But I wanted to ask specifically about deer and also dogs.
Okay.
Because Mr. Snoop's getting a little older. He's learned to become friends with the deer. He doesn't chase them into Charlevoix County anymore. Coming back with his tongue hanging down to the ground. Does the weather, like we're having this rainy, cool mornings and things like that, does it affect deer as far as their migration, their movements? Seem to be noticing less deer carcasses on the side of the road right now. What's going on with their migration, and is it weather related, or is it just they finally learned that it's summertime and they're trying to avoid cars and motorcycles? What's going on?
Well, it's not as much like the weather as far as, like, you know, it's raining right now or anything like that, but
okay.
The days are getting longer and that's triggering them, so the deer, and then now you have more forage because everything's green again, finally.
Sure.
And now the deer are dispersing. So instead of staying concentrated in the deer yards like they do up here in the north, where they'll concentrate usually in the cedar swamps and things like that.
Sure.
Usually they'll concentrate. So in the yard up, they'll concentrate around a food source and stuff. And even to the point that you get back down in some of these cedar swamps, it can be 20 degrees warmer in there than it is, you know, out in like an open forest or a field. So that's why they yard up during the winter. But now we're dispersing. We're going to be into fawning season anytime here. I'm actually surprised I haven't seen any on the ground yet, but I'm pretty sure anytime now I'm expecting them. But that's why you're kind of seeing less of them, because now they're more dispersed and more thinly distributed, I guess.
Right.
Say.
So, got it. Yep. Well, the other day I felt bad coming home from Traverse City area, driving up 31, and turned onto our road, and this little dog, which was a baby fawn, was by itself. It was standing off to the shoulder of the road.
Okay.
Like, where did mama go? You know, where did the brothers and sisters go? Whatever. And I felt bad. But I slowed down. I came to a stop, actually, to watch it.
Yeah.
And the poor thing didn't know which way to go. Didn't know whether to go north or south across the road. What happens in those scenarios? What do they end up, you know, eventually finding mama, or what's going on?
Well, now, does will only nurse their fawns like two or three times a day. They don't stay with their fawns, because when a fawn is born, it has no body odor. Obviously, the deer or the doe will have body odor, and if the doe spends a lot of time with the fawn, it will then attract predators to that area. So when, and this is a good thing too, because a lot of people will be walking through the woods and they'll find a fawn curled up by itself under a tree or pine tree or something like that.
Sure.
And they think it's abandoned. No, it's not abandoned. Okay. It's that doe is somewhere nearby waiting for you to leave. So leave them alone. If they're there, they're quiet, they're sitting there, and that's their only defense. People are like, well, they don't run away. I'm like, yeah, that's, especially when they're the first few weeks old, that is literally their only defense, is to stay still. Okay. And so if you see that, leave them be. They're there.
Nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. If they're up, I mean, and sometimes it's blatantly obvious. We had a situation last year, because we do you know, fawns. Oh, I mean, it's standing next to the doe that got hit on the road. Obvious at that point. Yeah,
sure.
We have a problem now. So they grabbed the DNR did grab that one. But the other ones like that, if they're up, you can watch them. If they're up in the area moving around and making noise, watch them. You know, if the doe doesn't show up in an hour or so, then yeah, you might want to contact somebody because you might have an orphan fawn there at that point. But that's kind of how you tell. Plus, if see if the ears start getting crinkled and wrinkly, that means they're getting dehydrated, and that means they haven't nursed in a while, which then again, probably got an orphan fawn on your hands. And usually we'll stop in and we'll swim in and you'll intervene. But, you know, in the real world, you know, I mean, coyotes got to eat too, you know. I mean, it's just...
Okay, it's just part of the cycle.
Part of nature, yep.
Yeah, got it. Hey, that brings up another quick question. Will another doe feed another doe's baby if in the event that does happen? Do does do that naturally, or do they not want to feed other does offspring in that scenario? How do they take care of abandoned fawns?
Yeah, a doe will adopt a fawn. If they can find it, if it's the right age, if it's similar to the one they have, you know, I mean, there's a lot of factors in there. It's like trying to graft, as we call it, an orphan foal onto another mare.
Right.
Same kind of thing, you know. And but a lot of them will also will do that, you know, if they find one and she's nursing her fawn. You know, or maybe she lost her fawn and just the two happened to cross paths just when they needed to.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Well, it triggered a thought, and I thought rain, and it was kind of cool out that day. And I'm like, just wondering, you know, is it weather related? What's going on? Why am I seeing this? I mean, this, honestly, she was so tiny. She looked about the size of Snoop, basically. I mean, looking at 70, 60, 70 pounds, or if that. And it was like, man, this is a newbie. And you just wonder when you see stuff like that. Hey, I want to ask you, too. Had two people text me after our conversation about Farm Day. Didn't realize that you were actually scheduling these days and willing to travel. Again, horses, both of them own horses. One in, I want to say, Germfask area, and the other one is a little farther west of that.
Yeah.
How far, their first question, how far will you travel? And would it help if they also reach out to some of their horse friends in that area to see if they have a need and maybe do a group horse day visit out western part of the UP, a little farther west of Sault Ste. Marie. Is that a possibility?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Actually, week before last, I have farms in Germfask. I already go to Germfask. Granted, the further out you go, the more people that we can get together to do it. One, it saves you guys money because then I'm not hitting one farm with the, you know, with that call. We can split the call between, you know, everybody, so that'll save you a bit of money there too.
Sure.
You know, it's just more efficient, you know, so we can get more work done and you know, in the one trip that we've run out there. We've been to Hanaway, you know, Indian River, Drummond Island, and then like I said, I've been Germfast, Chassel, trying to think of how far. It's about as far west as I've been so far. So,
okay.
But we also can haul in, too. So if it's something that on a time like I can't get out there, you know, you can haul in as well. And that's one thing, too, especially during the winter up here, just because of the nature of the large animal and there's very few of us doing it, that you should don't let your trailer get buried in the winter. I keep mine plowed out. JIC, just in case that I need to, because you never know. That's one thing. If you're ready for it, it doesn't happen, you know.
Right. Absolutely. You got to be prepared always.
Yep.
All right. Very good. One thing we're excited about, we have the new vets coming there to Sioux Animal Hospital.
Yep.
Wanted to give you an opportunity to lay that out for us. How is that going, and when are they going to be there?
Dr. Caitlin is starting next Monday. And okay. We did have a little wrinkle. So life is life. Dr. Rachel had another job offer at a different clinic, and she decided that, you know, and I talked with her too, and she decided that she's going to work down in Kentucky because she wanted to do 100% horses. Okay. I mean, she wants to live in UP. She loves the UP. She loves Michigan, but she goes, I really want to work in horses. So I'm like, no, that's cool. You know, I mean, I get it.
Yeah,
and you don't know when your first job comes out. I wanted to be a dairy vet. That's all I wanted to do was dairy cows. I did that for about a year. I go, I don't like this. So I went the other direction. I said, you don't know what you don't know. Go out there, get your experience. You know, you got I said, I'll be here as your mentor. Call me back. You know, and then, you know, hey, who knows, you know, and kind of, you know, and actually I'm now in contact with another veterinarian who used to be a technician here who was down in, or actually she's in Purdue right now. She was at Ross in the Caribbean, went through vet school down there, now is at Purdue during her internship. So we're kind of trying to cajole her to like, hey, you know, we're cool. You can come up here, you know?
So, right. Yes. But
no, Caitlin and I are definitely going to be up here. We're going to have two full farm call days. That's for sure. And, yeah, and that's going to be starting. She's going to hit the ground Monday. And, you know, new vet, going to give her about a little month to get her feet under her. Sure. And then at that point, then we'll go live with the new schedule.
Excellent. Good deal. I got a text from a gentleman. His brother did the same thing, went to Kentucky, was working with the different farms close by Lexington. I believe that's Kentucky Derby area down there.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he did horses for a year and a half. And, man, it's not for wasn't for him. And he started his own practice and went into, like you, able to service a lot. You're infatuated with horses. You want to focus in on that. That's all fine and good, but she may be back, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
So,
You know, I mean, my thing is, I wound up, you know, I got a little ADD, and I just got bored with dairy cattle because you wound up doing the same five things all the time. You know, DAs, ketosis, you know, one can is the same thing all the time. I'm like, all right, well, this is boring. So that's why I like doing here. Why we do everything. I mean, geez, I had a bearded dragon in the other day, and then I've got to fix a cat's jaw, and then we go look at a horse and go do this. And just with my drive and my, you know, I just like that diversity to, okay, what's next, you know?
Absolutely. Well, one of the things I think is pretty interesting is the technology. Virtual farm calls. I got a question here.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Is that something you're actually doing?
Yes, that is going to be that. I am doing that as a thing because, especially with large animal medicine or farm animal cattle, I mean, there's few enough of us as far as equine vets, and then you start going into cattle or swine or production medicine, that's even fewer yet. And when you start doing the production medicine stuff, a lot of it I don't have to. You're almost a consultant. And that was part of with the dairy is I liked actually interacting with the animals. And I kind of wound up being just more of a consultant, which, you know, on it by itself, you know, doing it, you know, a little bit, it's okay. But when that's all I did, I'm like, you know, I kind of like touch the animals too.
Sure.
So what I do now is go out. I got to be on the farm, boots on the ground once a year, look around, check everything out, see if there's any problems, find out, okay, what you got going on. And then I've got farm, and then we'll do it on the, you know, then we can do it over Skype or whatever. Not Skype anymore.
No.
Teams. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. I'm going to give out the phone number if you have any other questions for Dr. Jeff. Sioux Animal Hospital, Sioux St. Marie, 906-635-5910. Store it in your phone. Dr. Jeff, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
I'm the Hour News.
This is Michigan News Source.